Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Magical Main Street Memories Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact John and Sandy at 856-227-9200 or hop on their website at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. For all your Central Florida scooter needs, contact Scooter Vacations at 866-778-4748 or hop on their website at scootervacations.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to show number 134. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. A new year is upon us and ready to talk some Disney.
Yeah. I know. It's been a very, very hectic holiday, hasn't it? It's just nice to be back recording again.
Yeah, it has. As much as I enjoy the holidays, I also enjoy having it in the rearview mirror and getting back to the kind of the normal routine, if you will.
Yeah, you're just looking forward to going back to Disney.
Well, yeah, I am. Actually, I got to make my Fast Pass Pluses at 12:01, so I'll be up late tonight.
Okay. Well, let me know which ones you get.
Okay. I'll call you.
All right. Well, we want to wish everybody a happy new year. We hope everybody had a safe new year. And I hope all your 2015 dreams come true for all of our listeners. Do you agree, Dan?
Yeah, that would be awesome to get off to a good start and everybody have good times, like you said, all their dreams and wishes and all that good stuff come true.
Well, if you want, then you want to hop into the news, buddy. I'll order first round.
Okay. While you're doing that, I'll get us rolling here in 2015. Just some things that are going on in the down in the parks right now. The Frozen Holiday Wish, they extended that, and it's going to start back up, if you will, or continue more accurately. Saturday, January 3rd, which is already come and gone at 7 p.m. And then January 4th through January 12th, it'll be held each evening at 6:30 p.m. And basically what that amounts to is the castle lighting ceremony in front of on the stage there in front of Cinderella's castle, which we all now know, or if you don't, Elsa and Anna and I was going to say Frozone. Olaf, how can I forget? Olaf and the characters join in and actually light Cinderella's castle each and every night. So if you want to partake in that, you're going to be down there. It'll be 6:30 each evening and at the Magic Kingdom through the 12th of January.
Can't believe they're keeping something going as associated with Frozen. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't seem to make sense to me. But, as we know, even without any tie-in to Frozen, when it used to be Cinderella and the fairy godmother, that is a fantastic show, and the castle lit up all on its own, regardless of who is doing the show down below, is just beautiful. So that in itself, to extend it, would be reason enough. But with the sudden onslaught of Frozen, that adds another element of excitement to it for all the folks that really enjoy Frozen, which is many millions of people, I guess. So that's all good.
I know what I missed.
What's that?
For us not recording with the holiday for a while, I missed the way you say Cinderella.
Cinderella, Cinderella.
There you go. You called her Cinderella. I love it.
Reller.
Good old Cinderella.
Cinderella.
There you go. What's next, buddy?
What else do we got here? Yeah, this is, again, if you're going down to Walt Disney World this spring, the Jungle Cruise is going to close for a refurb April 13th through May 8th. So that's a fairly long refurb schedule for that attraction. I mean, it's long. In a way, it's long, and in a way, it's short. I mean, I don't foresee anything major happening. They didn't say anything that they're specifically doing other than probably routine maintenance, but that will be down, or that attraction will be down for that period of time, which, is just short of a month. So if that's one of your favorites, you're going to miss that if you already have a trip booked, but I'm sure you'll find something else to do over there in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, they probably got to drain that, I'd say, a little bit to clean them tracks, because that's a ride that does run on tracks. It's not free driven.
Correct. That's yeah, it runs on tracks or whatever. Excuse me. So I'm sure there's
I
some.
caught you off guard there. You okay? Dan, you there?
I am. I'm sorry. I muted myself.
You swallowed down the wrong pipe, buddy.
yeah, I swallowed one of them butterflies on the on the Jungle Cruise. Excuse me. You
Man
gotta.
overboard, man overboard. But yeah, I think they're going to be cleaning the tracks and doing all that. Because they probably have to drain that because, like, the big steamboat, they both run on tracks underneath the ground. It isn't like a freewheeling boat. So I think they have to drain that. And there's a lot to drain it and clean it and then cleaning all the animals and everything else.
Yeah, because you got to figure the water line from the water on the hippopotamuses and stuff and alligators. After a while, I'm sure, mold and not mold, but what do you call it? Seaweed, not seaweed.
Whatever, they get the moss
Yeah,
kind of stuff on them.
exactly. So you're right, Doug. They probably have to pressure wash them or something, or however they clean them. But I'm sure that's what it is. I don't think this is anything out of the ordinary, but nevertheless, it'll be closed.
Yeah, I just think pulling the boats, there's a lot to do with pulling them boats and everything else. They probably have to come out of the water. And I'm
I
sure
would.
they don't take them out every night. I know they take the flumes off, Splash Mountain every night. Have you ever seen
Right.
them load them flumes and they take some out of the route?
No, I can't say that I have.
It's pretty cool. I actually seen it when we were there a couple times with Extra Magic Hours when it's getting ready to close.
Right,
You
right.
actually see them. Actually, if you're coming back into the loading dock where you get off, there's an
Yep.
area to the left. They'll open up a door there and the flumes. So when things get least crowded, they'll take a couple flumes out of the rotation.
I see. They just got a track that runs up there, and they literally yank them right out of operation, or off the main track, if you will.
Absolutely. And I don't know if they take the Jungle Cruise boats out of the water every night, but they take the logs off every night, I guess, and put them away in like a garage they have there.
Wow.
It was
That's
pretty neat.
interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty neat to see. Me and my godson seen it the one night.
Yeah, I wonder why they do that, though. I mean, I wonder if it's just for liability reasons, or whether they actually maybe inspect them or something as part of the daily safety check or whatever.
Well, I'm sure it's easier to go through them when they're up there or out of the water so they can clean them and take anything that was left in them and you know what I'm saying? Stuff like
Yeah.
that. Instead of having to hover over the water every night.
Right.
It's
That
okay.
makes sense.
So what's next there? You on
Let's see.
yoga?
Over at our favorite theme park, over at Illuminations, or one of our favorite theme parks over at Epcot, I should say. Illuminations Sparkling Dessert Party for January and February. They'll be holding them, and them are 49 and 29. 49 for adults, 29 for children, 3 to 9. And that's those areas we've talked about it before, where you can get a viewing area for Illuminations, and with that you get some desserts, as the name implies, as well as some sparkling wine, I guess, or something like that. And I guess it's not something I've ever done. I probably will do it at some point, but I'm really not that thrilled to lay out another $50 on top of my park admission for the day to do that. But then again, having a primo viewing place for Illuminations might be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think I'll just go get a school bread and I'll get Brenda champagne and we'll do the same thing. We'll go to France and get some champagne off of one of the carts.
There you go.
Yeah, for $15. I'm in.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, most people I've heard talk about this, they enjoy it. I mean, again, I don't know if you can justify the value. I mean, I've actually walked by these areas, I'm sure you have too, and kind of peeked in to see what they were having. And there's just trays and trays of little finger desserts, if you will. Nothing, outrageous, but just little dessert type things, and it looks pretty nice. And I personally don't like sparkling wine, so that wouldn't appeal to me anyways. But like I said, I think it's more about having the ability to have a pretty decent view without people shoulder to shoulder like it is around World Showcase Lagoon.
Yeah, I mean, if I had mad money and we wanted to do something special, like, you know, yesterday was our anniversary, if we were down there for something like that, I would do it. But it has to be something special for me to want to do something like that. Because there's enough to do other ways besides spending another $50. I've seen Illuminations enough.
Yeah, I
like the part. I like the what you did at Spice Road Tables and over in France and stuff like that, where you have the wines or the flights that you get in Rose and Crown. I would enjoy that more than the dessert one myself.
Yeah, and that's actually a little cheaper, right? That's like $32 or something like that, and you actually, like you said, you get the samplers for the food, and then you get the wine flight and all that stuff, and the locations that you mentioned. You know, you get a pretty good view of Illuminations as well, so that's really a better value in my view.
Absolutely, because if two of you go, it's $100 for that viewing party for Illuminations.
Exactly.
And I'll go with 64 and have some decent and have some like. Well, you could do it like a late. If you go to the Spice Road Tables and get that trio that you got, that I got when I ate there, that could actually be a late dinner for us, and I could justify it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, late afternoon or early evening, you could grab something at one of the carts, or maybe, you know, just get something to tide you over, and then do the after hours wind down, which, you know, obviously is after the, shortly before Illumination starts, or we'll call it 8:30 or whatever. Yeah, you could get away with absolutely doing that as kind of a small dinner or a small late dinner.
No, well, it's also good because you get to stay in the park a little bit after everybody else. So there's a bonus to it. I don't know if this dessert party, if there's any bonus like that to it.
Yeah, I got to believe when Illuminations is over, they pretty much, you know, take all the gates, if you will, or whatever, and everything. And I'm sure they start taking the trays away and pretty much you're done. I've never heard any, you know, oh, you can hang around for a couple hours, and they're certainly not going to serve you. So if you didn't have a wind-down ticket, you're not going to be able to buy anything anyways, except over at Mouse Gear and some of the stores or retail locations that are open. But you're not going to be able to walk into a restaurant or up to a kiosk and actually buy anything.
No. But I Mouse Gear, you know, they stay open a little later sometime for roaming around. That seems to be the latest one.
Yeah. I've walked through there, you know, on my way out of the park and, you know, after Illuminations, and maybe have been even, you know, over in, over the American Pavilion or something like that. So, you know, it might have been 9:30, 20 minutes of 10, and I always have found it to be open. I don't know if they have a specific time they close or their policy is if there's a guest in the store, they stay open. I don't know. I've never challenged that late, but you're right. You can usually get in there and roam around if you want.
So what's your next piece of news, partner?
Well, the next piece of news is the big piece of news that has Twitter and Facebook abuzz. As we heard late last year, that the Sorcerer's Hat would be coming down. You know, on or about the first of the year, and Disney put out an official announcement that the hat would begin to be removed on January 7th.
Yeah, my anniversary.
There you go. So, yeah, you'll never forget that, right?
You'll
always remember when the hat was started to be removed.
Yep, January 7th, 2015.
Yes, the day will live in infamy, I guess.
Disney infamy.
Yes. I haven't seen any pictures today. I don't know how far they got yesterday. And, you know, with social media these days and Twitter and everything, I mean, you can get pictures of just about anything and everything down there. So I'm sure that there's been some deconstruction of the hat at this point. So, and I would have.
They basically, all I've seen is they have the walls up. I haven't seen any, destruction of it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I got to believe overnight they'll do the majority of it, you know, if they get a crane in there or whatever to start doing it. But it'll be interesting to see. But I got to believe it's not going to take them very long. But, you know, weather will play a role in that. And if the wind is a certain speed, they may not be able to do certain things, certainly during the day while there's guests in the park. But like I said, I'm willing to bet over the nighttime hours is when they'll do the majority of the heavy lifting, if you will.
Yeah, one of the guys, one of our followers on Twitter was going back and forth with me, and he was saying that he don't think they can remove it and keep it. And I said, because of how big it is, I said, I've seen bigger stuff than that put on top of buildings on construction sites with a crane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think they'd have any problem if they moved it in a couple pieces and put it back together.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it's just, there's a skeleton under there and it's probably just, metal or some sort of aluminum plates or whatever, and, with a bunch of rivets or screws or nuts or bolts or however the fasteners were for it. And if you take it apart in piece by piece, I gotta believe they could reconstruct it. But I'm guessing they're not going to do anything like that, only because we haven't even heard rumblings of that. I mean, we've heard a lot of speculation, and we've heard what get you know with different listeners, and we've given our opinion on where we'd like to see them put it. But I would think if they were going to move it piece by piece and then erect it somewhere else, either at the studios or elsewhere on property, we would have seen, there would have been a permit pulled, and there'd probably be some site work being done in preparation for the hat coming over. So I got to believe it's going to go, quote unquote, backstage somewhere. Not to say they won't put it somewhere eventually, but I don't see it being in a visible place immediately, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, I hope sooner than later it shows up somewhere else, because it is an iconic figure. It never belonged where they put it.
No, I agree, but it served its purpose, and we've covered the reasons why we think the hat went where it went, and it did what it was supposed to do. And I think you made the point, Doug, that a whole generation of Disney fans have grown up with only knowing the hat being there, so they're a little more sad, I guess, that it's leaving. And some of us folks that have been going for many years remember when it wasn't there and what the sight lines were, and are kind of excited to get that back.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see the Chinese theater by itself. And like we talked about, the biggest thing is TCM, they probably demanded the hat come down.
Yeah, you're probably right. Like we said when we covered that story, I mean, generally speaking, deals like that don't happen overnight. So, Disney probably knew this was coming, and whether or not it was, the Turner Classic Movies that, like you said, demanded or as part of the deal, wanted it out of there so that they can put some of their visual signage up and such. You're probably right. But then again, maybe they were going to take it down anyways with, Star Wars and Marvel and Pixar and all that. It might have been in the plans anyways, and this just pushed it over the top. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I hope it ends up showing up somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. I don't know if I made this point, but out in Disneyland, basically, the Disney Land Hotel is at one end of downtown Disney, if you can envision that. And they have a, I'm going to say, maybe a quarter scale of the Sorcerer's Hat there. It's not exactly like that, but you've probably seen pictures of it, I'm sure. But it's kind of like the weenie there at Disneyland Park, and so it is a symbol of the Sorcerer's Apprentice, as we know, and it's Mickey's hat basically. So how can you not like Mickey's hat, right?
Exactly. I mean, I'm just looking forward to. I want it to be a gift shop out in the parking lot. We'll see. I doubt that'll happen, but that's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Actually, I'll correct myself. It's actually not Mickey's hat. It's the Sorcerer's hat,
Yeah, Sorcerer
right?
Mickey. Sorcerer Mickey.
Well, the Sorcerer is Mickey's the apprentice in the original cartoon, and the Sorcerer, that's his hat, his magic hat. Mickey ends up stealing it, and that's how all the brooms get going and all the water and all that stuff. So even though Mickey ends up wearing it and we associate it with Mickey, it's really what's his name? Nen said, or whatever, however Disney is backwards, however you would say that, he's the sorcerer in the original cartoon.
Okay, yeah, all I know is I seen Fantasmic and he's hanging on my tree with his hat.
Oh yeah, I'm not disputing that. Everyone knows that that's we call him Sorcerer Mickey, and you're absolutely right, but it's actually, like I said, not his hat. He steals it.
Well,
kind of like Donald steals it in Mickey's PhilharMagic. Same thing.
Well, Mickey always gets it back, though.
He's the boss.
So you're excited about the Disney Vacation Club Bora Bora Borga bungalows?
Yeah, I'm excited to know I'm not going to be paying a $20,000 mortgage for the next 10 years or whatever. I am. I mean, they're beautiful, and I hope someday to be able to stay in one of them, although deciding not to become an owner, I think it'll be difficult, but maybe someday we'll get to stay in one once the novelty wears off, although I'm thinking that may be many years till it does.
You're talking 4 or 5 years. The treehouse is over at Saratoga are still hard to get.
Yeah. I mean, they're very popular, and I'm sure these will be as well. And but I am excited because anytime there's something new accommodations, new amenities to a, you know, especially a Disney resort and one of their original resorts, it's exciting. And, you know, we, you know, over the past couple of weeks, we've seen pictures of the new lobby and things are starting to come together over there. So, yeah, it is exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see them. I can't wait to walk in one day.
Right.
If I hit that big Mega Million for $200 million, Dennis, I'll buy us each one. They go on sale next week.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, we always say this, as time flies by so quick. When I just remember talking about, you know, oh, they're going to do a renovation at the Poly, and you know, that seems like we were just talking about that the other day, and it seemed like, you know, it'd be years, which when it's all said and done, it will be, till it's done. And now here we are, you know, they're going to start selling these units. And, you know, I'm sure very soon we'll start to see, although I think the artist renderings of the inside, or did we actually get pictures? I'm not sure, of the inside of the bungalows.
No, I haven't seen them yet. I've seen the drawing, but I right. haven't seen pictures of them.
Right. So I'm sure that's real close to being done. And, you know, Disney Vacation Club will do one of those, you know, walkthrough videos. And usually what happens is they invite all the usual suspects down there to do a walkthrough, and they'll have some sort of, you know, kickoff celebration or something. And then we'll all get a peek or a video of the actual accommodations inside the bungalows. So, yeah, that's exciting. I'm happy to hear that.
I can't wait. The reason I can't wait is because as soon as they go on sale, we'll start to see if there's any other shoes dropping in another resort.
Yeah, as we discussed, mum's the word right now. We don't hear any rumblings whatsoever about any DVC construction or regular Disney Resort construction down on the Walt Disney World property. So, it'll be interesting to see where they go from here.
And did you see the Flame Tree Barbecues closed for refurbishment? It's not going to be opened again until April 2015?
Yeah, that's killing me. That's my favorite place at the Animal Kingdom. But you know what? It's going to force me to go somewhere else. And I know you're a big advocate of
Yak and Yeti, babe.
Right. You told me that, you know, not only for sit down, but they have a takeout window there. So this is going to force me to get out of my comfort zone, which will be a good thing. So, yes, I did hear that. I'm disappointed because I love the ribs and the chicken and all that stuff.
Well,
there,
you can still get, if you wanted to, you can get the half chicken St. Louis style ribs can be found at Beasley's Kiosk. It's a garden kiosk near the exit to Tough to be a Bug. They're setting up temporary kiosks to sell the stuff.
Yeah.
And then you can get jumbo turkey legs, pork sandwiches are also available at Trillo Bites near the entrance to Dino Land USA. So there are going to be a couple kiosks where you can grab your ribs if you want them.
Nice.
But I'd still like to see you go over and try Yak and Yeti.
Yeah, no, I definitely am. As much as I enjoy the ribs, if the Flame Tree is going to be closed, and that'll be the rub here, the rub on the ribs here, is that the seating will be an issue. Now, unless they're just doing the building itself and the seating will still be available if you get your food at those locations you mentioned, that might work. But you know, with the barbecue sauce and everything, as messy as that is, I don't want to be eating standing up or, you know, crouch down on some wall or something. That, to me, that's not enjoyable.
Yeah, I know. There's probably going to be some kind of outside seating you could
right.
check out.
Well, I'll do what you said. I'll just go to the Yak and Yeti, and I won't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but you go there, you can get, and you got to get the fried wontons, my buddy.
I know you've been talking about those almost.
Them and
bangers
the
and mash.
Man, you don't listen to me ever, man.
I know.
You finally will, and then you'll say, "Oh my God, why did I wait so long?"
I'm going to put that in my on my notes. I have a different note on my iPhone there, the notes app, and I have a list of running things that I either got to try or do, and I just added them in there.
Well, if you wanted to, and I'm telling you, they're awesome, and I was shocked. My wife got the baby back ribs at Yak and Yeti.
Yes.
And they were out of this world. I mean, they were falling off the bone good.
Right.
They're slow roasted. They have this hoisin barbecue sauce. You get chicken fried rice and sweet chili slaw with it.
Nice. Ooh, that sounds good.
They are awesome. My wife, and I, it was one of those words, looking at that menu, the day we were there, if somebody had told me to choose what you think your wife's going to pick, I would have probably chose almost everything else on the menu besides the ribs. Because that ain't usually her.
Right, right.
For some reason, she goes, "I think I'm getting the ribs." I'm like, "Who am I sitting with?" You know, usually she goes for the healthy choice all the time. You find
right,
me
right.
The salmon, the mahi mahi, you know, something like that. She never goes for that. And all of a sudden she goes, "I'm getting the ribs." I was like, "You go, girl." And they were awesome. I had a couple. I went in for a third, and she wasn't having it.
Yeah.
She would have let me bite. Yeah, dude, the fried wontons. Skewer of fresh pineapple, cream cheese wontons, vanilla ice cream with a honey vanilla drizzle. Ah,
that does sound delicious, Doug.
Oh, my God. If I only looked that good, I'd be a movie star. if I looked as good as those wontons taste, man, I'd be a cross between Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
Wow.
Yeah. With a little bit of The Rock mixed in.
Wow.
What's
your
next piece of news?
Actually, I'm going to loop it back to you. I know we were talking, doing our show prep before the show. You were saying something about some newer Magic Bands that were released.
Yeah, didn't you see any of the pictures of them yet?
I did. I went and looked at them when you had mentioned it, but you seem to be pretty fired up for them, so I figured I'd let you kind of.
I was very excited to see the Woody and Buzz, man. I would like to get Woody and Buzz.
Yeah.
They have Cinderella, Ariel. It's nice that they're coming out. I mean, even the Cinderella Castle is cool, because you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. What was the other one? The last week they had Stitch, and I think they had the Five Princesses Stitch, Minnie's dress. Remember the red with the polka dots, and there
yes.
was a fourth one. I forget what it was. So
they
this
have
is
yeah, the Mickey one that says 2015.
Yeah.
Then they have the Ariel, Cinderella's Castle, Belle, Tinkerbell. You know, everybody wants Tink, and then you have Sheriff Woody and Buzz on the same band.
Right, and we've seen they've already come out with. There's been a couple of versions. I think of, you know, they had an Olaf one. They, you know, had an Anna or an Elsa. So they're starting to crank these out pretty good now. And I was going to say it's kind of like back in the day, back in the millennium, when they kind of restarted the pin trading. Easy for me to say down in the parks.
You're having all kind of trouble.
Yeah,
like
I'm
kid.
Telling you, it's been a crazy day. But you know, we used to get the word from Disney, and like every week they'd release like five pins, you know, and everybody would, you know, whether it was at the Disney store or down at the Disney parks or maybe even online or whatever, and you could kind of manage it, you know, if you wanted to keep up with, you know, getting all of the pins that came out. And then somewhere along the way, like a year into it or whatever, it just got so big and so huge. They started releasing so many different pins in so many different parks of so many different characters. And there was just literally hundreds of them being released, you know, weekly or biweekly or whatever, that you just lost track. You just couldn't keep up with it. And I don't think we're going to get to that degree with the Magic Bands, but I'm going to guess that they're going to start getting released Fast and Furious here to cover all the different characters that Disney has in its stable. And like we talked about, the resort specific ones and park specific ones. I think we're going to really see a run on these Magic Bands coming in the very near future.
Well, just the Magic Bands themselves, would people being able to purchase them, or is it going to pay back the $1 billion investment in the technology?
Yeah.
No, it will, and that's where Disney's genius. And I guarantee you, in a couple years, or I'd say probably within a year, you'll be able to design your own custom Magic Band, whatever you want on it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just like they're doing with the phone cases now, down at the co-op at Disney Springs, you can pretty much, you know, if you're able, if you have a job or a career that you're either in an office or, you know, you're not on a construction site, like unfortunately you and I are most of the time, you know, you can pretty much get any character you want at this point, and so much, or to the point where, you know, we've seen, trying to remember which specific resort it was, but some of the resorts already have their resort specific Magic Band that you can get right in the store within that resort. So if they're doing one, I got to believe at some point they'll have them all. If you're at Pop or you're at Riverside or the Grand Floridian, whatever, you're going to be able to buy a Magic Band that represents the resort's likeness on the band. So you can have it.
Guarantee Riverside will be purple.
yeah, it will be. I would assume it'd be similar to the color scheme of the hats and the coffee mugs we saw a couple of weeks ago that were released.
Now, did you see the Island Supply sunglass huts already open? It didn't take them that long for that, did it?
No, I didn't realize it was open, but I did see a picture. I thought that might have been just what it's going to look like, but it actually opened.
That's what it looked like. It's Island Supply sunglass hut. That's what it looked like. It's open to me.
Yeah, I mean, when you really think about it, all they had to do was gut out what was there, take the shelving, if you will, that they had in there for the other merchandise, and put in shelving that accommodates sunglasses. I'm sure there's a lot of them locking cases, if you will, to keep the the $100+ sunglasses just out of regular reach. And, you know, how long does that take, right? I mean, I don't think they rethemed any of the inside. I would think they didn't. And it was a pretty straightforward, refurb.
Yeah, it says it's officially open. It didn't take them long. It says when you say high-end, we mean high-end. The most expensive we could find, we're selling for $850 in sunglasses.
Wow.
And the cheapest, what I say, with the cheapest being around $100.
That's the baseline just to get in the game. You got to drop $100.
Exactly. And the average price is between 2 and 4.
Wow. I'll get 2 pair then in case I lose one. So,
dude, come on. If you stay for 10 days, you got to get a pair for every day if you want to be cool mode D.
Oh, yeah. They got to color coordinate. You know, if I'm wearing my blue shirt, I got to have the blue glasses and so forth and so on. So,
yeah, so you absolutely drop a good $2,000 to $4,000 on some glasses while we're down there next trip.
Piece of cake.
I mean, for those prices, I'd be afraid. I wouldn't walk in there if I had kids with me.
Yeah, I know I haven't, or at least I don't believe I've told this story, but my son years ago, the same trip when I was talking about us going over to Emeralds, you may not remember this, and it could even be gone now, but anyways, it's City Walk, somewhere on the City Walk, I don't remember where, there was an elephant, a big elephant, and its tusks hung down. He went in, and I think it was the fossil store, if I'm not mistaken, and you know, at the time, he bought $125-$150 pair of sunglasses. And, you know, he was so, you know, proud of those and, you know, probably the most expensive thing the kid ever bought in his life. But he had saved some money and that's what he wanted to spend it on. Well, anyways, we had him line up to take a picture with his sister under this envelope, elephant.
You're all over the place today, kid.
I cannot talk. And anyways,
It's a hell of an envelope for an elephant to fit in.
He didn't realize that the tusk was so low to the ground. And when he stood under the, he actually, when he stood up straight, like after we took the picture, he was kind of crouched down. I forget what the circumstances were.
He broke the
But the
sunglass.
tusk actually, well, it didn't break him, but it put a big scratch right across the front of one of the lenses. And now I hate to admit this, but I will. We ended up walking back to the fossil store, and we told a white lie that, and they, and you'll know this because you said you buy high-end sunglasses occasionally. You know, we went in and talked to the manager or whatever, and we said, "Gee, we didn't notice this scratch till we got outside." Blah blah blah, and he was very nice, and he traded them out for him, and we got a new pair, which again, really wasn't right on our part, but. Nevertheless, that's what we did. But now, as you know, they will not let you away from the counter
Oh
because
no,
he's right.
you got to sign off on it.
Exactly. You once you walk away from that counter, you're basically either signing something or you're agreeing to the fact that these were in, you know, mint condition when I left, and it's on you once you walk out that door. If they get scratched or whatever, that's your problem, not the store's. So.
And that's one of those situations where you want to call the manager of the manager to say what a great job he was, but if you
Yes.
told him what he did, you might
It
get him
probably yeah.
fired.
Exactly. And like I said, we didn't go back like, you know, ranting and raving like we're outraged that this happened because, you know, we knew in our heart that it was our own fault. And but on the other hand, I mean, the poor kid just dropped 150 bucks. And but again, it was just one of those things. And like I said, this was 15 years ago or better, maybe even. And you know, like I said, they've gotten wise to these type things because I'm sure it happens all the time. Somebody drops them or whatever and scratches them. And like I said, that's why I'm an advocate for the $14.99 Disney specials. If you drop them, break them, step on them, yeah, you're bummed out, but you're only out 15 bucks and you just go buy another pair.
Yeah, the knockoffs.
Exactly.
No, but I'll walk through there, but I'll be nervous.
Yeah. Do you use the lanyard type thing so when it gets cloudy or at night, do you hang around your neck or up on your hat or how do you
I do
treat?
it for work, but not for my sunglasses. For my work glasses, my reading glasses, I
Yeah.
walk around like Grandpa Moses now.
There you go.
I
Yeah.
turned 40 and my eyes went south for the winter. My eyes are in Florida. If you guys see them, let me know.
It's terrible. It's funny you say that. My daughter got me a book for Christmas, and I don't read a lot. I mean, I read the newspaper and stuff like that, or do most of my reading online, blogging, and whatever. But a physical book, I haven't, you know, I don't generally read books, if you will. But, anyways, there was a book that I wanted, so she picked it up for me. It wasn't a Disney book, but so, you know, one night I said, oh, this is good. I'm going to start this book and I'll read a couple chapters a night. And, you know, I got all ready and get my reading glasses. And I couldn't read the book. And, you know, I kind of keep up on my eye appointments and stuff. And I have the right prescription for my reading glasses. But a combination of, I don't know, maybe the lighting in the room, it isn't quite as bright as it could be or should be for reading. I can't read the book. So I had to go get one of the, what I got was a, you know, those handheld magnifying glass type things, readers. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
That thing is great. I mean, I look silly as heck using it, and I kind of feel real old doing that, but it's so nice. I mean, it brings the writing right off the page, if you will. So that's where I'm at now. So I feel your pain with the inability to read properly now.
Now I'm up to 275 now.
Oh, wow. I'm not that bad yet, but
Yeah.
I think I'm headed that way, or I'm probably there now. I just don't know it, and I need
You
to
are, trust me,
maybe,
you're probably three like me. They
yeah,
should be.
I think I need to get to the eye doctor and get that straightened out.
And also the Wandering Oaken's Trading Post and Frozen Snowgrounds now closed at the Hollywood Studios. They closed on the 5th.
On the 5th, yeah.
And they said that's closed for good now, because this is closed a couple times. Now they're saying it's officially closed.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll bring it back next fall, though, or if they mean it's closed, done, you know, that's it.
Hopefully by next fall they're into remodeling the studios by then.
Right. Well, but that's what I'm saying. Where they're remodeling and there may be a lot under construction, they Well, oh, was that in a place where it will they wouldn't be able to do it anyways? It'll be under construction.
Yeah, it was in that back area. From what I remember from being there, it was in the back area on the way to Lights Motor. They had all the frozen stuff set up back there.
Yep.
It's in that area. And if there's going to be work done back there, this would be one of the things that would have to
Got you.
go.
So it probably will not come back in any capacity then. That makes sense.
No, I don't think so. The same kind of store will probably come back when they remodel the park.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking anyway.
In a permanent location or a,
Yeah,
yeah.
there's going to be multiple frozen stores. Maybe it'll be over in Norway then.
Yeah. Moving right along. Well, I'll tell the listeners a story. We were talking today, and Doug was cutting a piece of wood, and while he was at work, and I made the comment that he actually sounds like the lumberjacks over in Epcot, and Doug said he thought his sawing actually sounded better. So,
Absolutely. It did. I was more in tune, I'll tell you that much.
and
And
I
I'll tell
didn't.
you what I built, the railing looked a lot better than that show they were doing too. I bet you what I did today building these custom railings was more entertaining than that lumberjack show.
I'm gonna. I didn't see. I heard what you were doing. I didn't see it, but based on what I've seen of that show, I totally agree with you.
And I think I would have been funnier as a one-man show.
That I totally agree with too.
And did you see the new guide mats at the studio? The good new guide maps at the studios, they have them where there's no saucer's cap.
Yeah, and again, that kind of harkens back to, I think it was, I don't know, maybe midsummer, mid to late summer, we got wind of this. Some of the maps that they print out for the Disney hotels and the surrounding areas, not on Disney property proper, but in some of the hotels on Hotel Plaza Boulevard and out on 192, somebody had gotten advanced copies of those maps, and they indeed did not include the Sorcerer's Hat. So that's kind of where all this speculation really got humming this past summer when that map came out. So I'm assuming that the park map or the official park map that you're referencing, Doug, is similar, or the map, it might even be the same exact map for all I know. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't expect it to be on that, to be honest with you.
It's different to see because I have a bunch of maps with it on there. It's just weird it's gone. It glad it's gone, but it's weird it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, and if you think about it, everybody that's purchased like a hoodie or, any memorabilia or a park, especially Disney Studios, but they did a ton of stuff like with the four park logos that, have that Sorcerer's Hat on it. So, it's kind of, there's going to be a whole new
Focal point on the
logo and
park,
focus.
yeah.
Exactly. And as the years go by, it'll be like, wow, look at that guy. He's got a cool thing with the sorcerer's hat on it. We just took it for granted while it was with us, obviously. But, I would think going forward, you're not going to get any merchandise with any of the reference to the hat or the hat on the piece of clothing or whatever it is at all.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they think the new
Icon, new
icon's
icon.
going to be in the park. I wonder which way they're going to go with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, some say it's the Eiffel Tower, some say it's going to be the theater, and who knows? There may be some other big weenie coming, if you will, that we don't even know about yet. So who knows?
Well, myself, I honestly believe now and I always thought before. That over the since the past few years, it's been myself. It's a Tower of Terror. It's the
Yeah.
most inviting, the most. It's the biggest thing you see. It's the first thing you see when you're pulling up.
And it's recognizable, instantly recognizable, and you can see it from many, many, many places around the park. I mean, even when you're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, there's areas there where you can see it. Not you don't even have to be in the studios to see it, and you instantly know what it is. So that wouldn't be a bad choice for the park logo, but not logo, but the icon.
Yeah, well, it's the most iconic thing in that park, so.
Yeah, I'd have to say, and like I said, unless, if they really do a Star Wars land or a Pixar, expand out Pixar place, I mean, I'm sure they could come up with something else that might,
Yeah, they eventually
overshadow that.
probably will.
Yeah.
But it's just waiting. You're going to have a couple years before, so they're going to do something else. I mean, I don't know if they would do the Chinese theater on t-shirts. You follow me?
Right. And that's the big, $64,000 question. We don't know, what the agreement is, if it's changed at all with the folks that own the rights to the theater.
Because I don't ever remember anything with the having that on it, do you?
Well, not in recent past, and I have seen merchandise with it on it before the hat came along. But again, if you believe the stories that are out there, and again, they're just stories, but that's the reason the hat went up to begin with, that the agreement or the terms of the agreement had changed, and the folks that own the Grauman's Theater did not want Disney using
Yeah.
its likeness on any of their merchandise or even Fast Pass, well, not Fast Pass, Photo Pass
Yeah.
photographers. I don't even think they had them back then, probably, but they just didn't want people coming away from their vacation with their theater and likeness on the in all the pictures without getting compensated for it. And Disney probably said, well, we're not going to compensate you for it. And they got a lawyer to send a letter to say, well, cease, using its likeness in your, literature and your videos and all that good stuff. So that's how we got to where we are today, I guess, with the hat going up and now coming down. But yeah, you're right. For all we know, maybe they did strike an agreement and now they're going to use it and that's going to be the icon. We don't know.
Yeah, because I honestly don't ever remember anything with that logo on there. And I've been going for a long time now. Like, I remember that as being the focal point, so.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going since 87. I mean, I went once since
97.
97. I went once in 71, but I mean, that really don't count. But, since I've been going, I don't recall ever seeing, something with the Grauman Theater on it.
Yeah, me was 97 was the first year too for me, so I still don't remember anything of that, and I don't know if they will moving forward. Now there is shirts and there's a whole store with Tower Terror stuff, so maybe that will become the icon for there until they're done Star Wars Land.
Time will tell, but I'm sure we'll hear about different variations and different rumors and everything else as we go forward, because that's what we do.
So, you got any other news pieces, my good friend?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's kind of quieted down for a while there. It was fast and furious, so it seemed like there were 15 items a week that were of interest in the Disney community, but that's pretty much it for this week, and it's only Thursday, so I suppose some stuff could come out later on in the week.
Well, we'll be recording again on Sunday, so we can cover them then.
Yeah.
Did you see the madhouse, which was New Year's Eve down there?
Oh, yeah. I followed along, and there was one of our listeners that was down there. The name escapes me right now. Who was down there that.
Well, my buddy Joe was down there, and
Okay.
he was having it so bad that he literally said it took him an hour to get from Main Street to Fantasyland to
Right.
walk.
Wow.
And he came back to his spot. He had to go back to meet his kids,
Yep.
and he left his wife at his spot. And by the time he got back, she literally thought he got lost. It was that bad. You could not see. You could not move. You were just stuck everywhere. He said it took you Pecos Bills and all. I mean, all the restaurants there for the week. He said people were literally standing up outside eating all over the place. He said it was ridiculous. He said he had a great time, but he would never do it again.
Yeah, and that was kind of the sentiment that I got from people that were down there. And I guess it's all in your perspective, because those of us that are not in Disney World, generally speaking, myself included, have the opinion, I don't care how busy it is. I'd rather be at Disney World than back home doing my humdrum job or whatever. But most of the people that were down there, and I wouldn't even say they're complaining, but they're frustrated, let's just say, because the crowds are so massive and they can't really move, they can't get where they want to get, and unless they have a fast pass for an attraction, you're probably only going to do a handful of things in a whole 12-hour day at the parks or whatever. So, if you were to ask somebody that's not there, would you, rather be at Disney World in those crowds and not doing very much, or would you rather just be at home doing your regular, routine, if you will? And I think to a person,
Rather be there, but I would stay at the resort.
Right.
I don't think I could handle. I know my wife would go insane.
Right.
she really would. She would go nuts with people like all over her like that. I mean, it was so bad that they literally had to have cast members out helping you because there were so many people in the Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi wouldn't work. Most people's My Disney Experience was down.
It was just overwhelmed.
Yeah, there was too much going on. There was too much, too many people using the Wi-Fi where it was so slow. It was ridiculous. So they had cast members with iPads all over the place to help people. But the thing was, got there at 9 a.m. in the morning, and he got a fast pass for Buzz Lightyear at 10 o'clock at night.
Wow. So, I mean, yeah, and you ran the risk of, once you're there, if you leave, you might not be able to get back in if they close due to capacity. So I was going to say, even if you went back to the resort, took a nap or a dip in the pool or whatever, you may not be able to get back in later on at night. So you'd pretty much have to stay there for 13 hours in order to take advantage of your fast pass.
Well, he stayed over at the boardwalk. It took him an hour to get to the Magic Kingdom by the bus.
Wow.
And he said he was the last, they were the last people. It wasn't like there was any other stops. It was the last stop. When he got on, it didn't stop anywhere else. It was already done, because
right.
It was so crowded, they would actually have buses for each resort. Know how it's Boardwalk, Yacht and Beach Club, and Swan and Dolphin?
Oh, yeah.
When it was that crowded, they were loading the bus to capacity at one bus stop at the Boardwalk.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it wasn't like they were stopping at multiple resorts. It took an hour. Literally, it took an hour to get there with traffic. And they got bus routes. Because the people not going the way they should have gone. And I don't know, Dan. I would rather be – I seen that they were having dance parties over at the Boardwalk outside in the courtyard. I seen stuff like that. If I was rich, I would have rented a boat 6 months in advance and just set out on the lake.
Yeah, that would be good.
Did something like that, but to be in that park, I mean, yeah, to say I was there, I would love to, but we couldn't have dealt with the craziness.
Yeah, I mean, to spend all that money to go to Disney World and then not be able to, enjoy the, what you go there for, to ride the attractions and stuff, that'd be a little tough. But then again, I mean, to do it like you're saying, if you know going in you're going to have a different type of vacation and you're going to, stay at the resorts and maybe, go downtown, like you said, or do some different things, or not that downtown, go to the boardwalk or whatever. I mean, you could still have a good time, I guess, as long as going in you knew that's what you were going to do. But if you went down there hoping to have your normal Disney World vacation and take in the extra stuff, the fireworks, or, if it's New Year's or the Mickey's Not the Christmas.
That's Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Yes, exactly. I mean, if you were planning on doing all those things and doing all your regular stuff, then I think you'd be pretty disappointed and frustrated because there's no way you could do that.
No, and there's so many people that, like one of the Joe's friends and our friends, she was going down for the softball for her son. She had over the Christmas holiday, and she was there New Year's and all.
Right.
They were having a wooden bat tournament down there during the holiday, and she went down because her son made it. He was one of the kids that got to go on the team to travel to Florida, so she took him for Christmas.
Nice.
And that whole Christmas week was that crowded. It was so crowded when she went, they got in the park with her kids. Disney actually gave them their money back.
Wow.
Because they said, we don't want to stay, so Disney refunded them their money.
Mm.
Because they couldn't enjoy anything. It would have been like they were going to spend 400 hours for the four of them for one day and not be able to do anything. Maybe
right.
Two or three rides. It wasn't worth it to them.
And, well, I commend Disney for doing that. I mean, it was the right thing. It was the right thing to do. You don't hear that too often, but I mean, you know, again, they're obviously looking at the big picture, and they don't want this family to sour on Disney and never go again. So I guess by doing that, it at least maybe didn't guarantee, but it increased the likelihood that maybe they'd book it another time a year and come back.
Yeah, because that's who I feel sorry for, the people that went. I don't feel sorry for them, but if it's you're down there with your kids for the first week, if you didn't book your fast passes the 60 days in advance, you were basically doing nothing. I mean, you were doing something, but you were going to do two, maybe three rides waiting all day. At least if you had fast pass, you could. I would have made my fast passes for late in the day and tried to get on things in the morning.
Right, exactly. And the things you would do if you didn't have Fast Pass would probably be the the lesser attractions, if you will, the stuff that isn't the E attraction, the Soarings and
Peter Pan probably had an 8 hour wait.
and you're not exaggerating either. I mean, that ride, that attraction loads so slow, and we discussed this before. You're probably right. I mean, if you didn't have a fast pass, there's no way you would stand in that line.
Did you see how the line for Soarin' went outside?
Yeah, that was weird. Even
They,
yeah, and
I
even the
think what they.
fast pass return line was outside. It was like backstage or something. It
Well, I
was.
think what they did is, and I'm not sure because I wasn't there, but from me going through my own head, I don't know if maybe the line went out. You know where the bathrooms are down there on the first floor? I think the line went out there through an outside door, and they actually had like a movie theater line set up.
I think you're probably right, because there's crash bars on those doors from the inside that, in a case of emergency, you could get out. I think that's exactly what it was. They probably propped those doors open. They stuck a, they had some signs, as I recall, Fast Pass Plus entry here or whatever, and they looped them out behind the building, and it looked like an alley or something to me.
Exactly, because it looked like the building. You could tell it was the land building, the design of it and all, but that's what I was thinking. They went out through them bathrooms there and outside and then set up like cattle chutes, like a movie theater or like the great movie ride outside.
Yeah, because I saw pictures. The line went all the way up the stairs and the escalator, and then wrapped around the like the upper balcony, if you will, inside the land. And I think what it was is they didn't want everybody coming, out those doors and then up the incline there where you go to get up to the land. So they probably figured they could give it some relief by opening those doors that you're talking about and putting them out in the alley.
Yeah, because it was ridiculous. I mean, it was 4 hours. I mean, 4 hours. I mean, why would you wait for, I wouldn't wait for 4 hours for that. They better be giving me a real airplane at the end of 4 hours.
And feeding you in line.
Exactly. Well, and then people are leaving to go to the bathroom, holding line. I mean, it's too much for me. I mean, unless I could get on the roof of Horizons building and just,
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying, and just sit
I
up
hear
there
you.
myself, you're not going to catch me in one of those parks.
No, and I know we talked about this during our holiday shows, that you're really on me to try to get down there during the holidays one of these years to see all the lights and the
But
different resorts and
yeah.
everything. And I am going to do that, but on the other hand,
You won't have to deal with this. Go to last week of November, first week of
yeah,
December. You'll be
true.
happy times. Everything is that's what me and Brenda have gone every time we've gone. It's been right after Thanksgiving and before Christmas, those couple weeks right there. The crowds are very manageable. When we it used to be the first week of December was the least crowded time of the year. I mean, literally, we were walking on pirates, walking on every. I mean, we walked on rides. But now it's becoming a little more trendy. Like everybody follows. It's like now everybody knows that the hidden secret's gone, but it's still not to the point where it's bad. It's not as bad as summertime, if you follow me.
It's still busy, but it's not outrageous. I know
It's
what you
not as
mean.
bad as food and wine, I'll tell you that. So.
Exactly. And again, we have the Disney company itself working against us, because they have a different agenda than us guests do, that are trying to go at le the least busy times of the year, so we can do what you just said, walk on or have a minimal wait in line. Disney, on the other hand, is saying we got all of these hotel rooms and we want to fill them, and we want people in our restaurants and people in our parks. So, as we've discussed, they've come up with all these great other reasons to go to Disney World, whether it be Flower and Garden or Food and Wine or a Run Disney event. I mean, they've filled in all these gaps that used to be slow times of the year, I should say, with different events that attract people in or down to the Walt Disney World Resort in general, so that there really is no quote unquote dead time anymore.
No, they figured out how to get people there all the time with the free food.
Well, yeah, not even, yeah, with the
Free
free
dining,
dining.
that
Yeah,
free dining and 30% rooms off.
you got that. And like I just mentioned all the events, and there's other things going on. Some of it I'm aware of, some of I'm not, some of it I'm not. But I told you, like there's a weekend in September they do the Pin and Vinylmation event, where in the World Showcase, where they had all those extra countries in there represented between the old off-kilter stage and that coffee cart there between Canada, I guess, and the
Yeah, where
United
them
Kingdom.
gates are, you can see the
Yeah.
gates back there.
I mean, now, of course, those things aren't as popular as, food and wine and stuff like that, but still, there's thousands of people that go down just for that event, and, that's adding to people being at Disney World. And there's always stuff going on over at the Wide World of Sports, and
Yeah.
cheerleading competitions, and Pop Warner, and this and that. So again, there's so much going on at that resort, above and beyond just regular people going on a Disney World vacation. I mean, I know they don't do it as much anymore, but I know they used to host PGA events at the golf course, and
No, they still do that every year. It's at Lake Buena Vista.
yeah. I mean, Tiger Woods used to have his one of his tournaments there, and I think he lived in Orlando, so he was a local anyways. But I
Well,
mean,
he lived over in Windermere, but
yeah.
they do that tournament now is over at the Arnold Palmer, his over at his golf course down there.
But I guess the takeaway is, or whatever, that there's like we keep saying, back when we first started going, there were dead spots where if you could get the vacation time or coordinate your schedule so you could go down during those times, you could really tour the parks hard and get everything done that you want to do, and sometimes, do your favorites multiple times.
Oh, well, we've been down, and sometimes the way me and Brenda tour, because I still figure out the least crowded. February's become my friend. As soon as cheerleading's done, and you got the few marathon weekends, if you can avoid them, like me and Brenda do a lot of Sunday through Thursday Disney trips. So that's how we keep the crowds away. And we've had trips where we've done Soarin' 5, 6 times in a trip without a fast pass.
Oh,
And stuff like that. And Pirates, where you walk on, get off, and then you walk right on the splash. And everybody's saying, "I don't want to get wet. I don't want to get wet." Well, you're not going to get wet. They have the water cannon off in the winter. They're not stupid.
No, you're absolutely right that, you can still, if you're savvy enough and you're in the know, you can still choose some times that you're right are very, very favorable for park touring and getting some stuff done that you normally can't during the busier times of year.
That still cracks me up that everybody thinks it's because you hit the water that you get splashed down there.
It's all a trick. It's an
Yeah, I mean,
illusion.
it's like, and if you tell them and they look at you like you're nuts, it's like you're not wearing a seatbelt, first of all. So if you hit the water that hard to cause that kind of splash, you would go flying out the front of the car, of the flume. You'd be overboard from the log if you hit it at that speed.
Well, Disney does, yeah. Well, Disney does a lot of things like that, that, it plays mental tricks on you. It's just like, and I'm sure you've seen this a million times too. If you watch the show that they have on TV that tells about the parks, the ones I think they're on the Travel Channel or whatever. I mean, and this should work for me, and it doesn't because I psych myself up. But take the Tower of Terror for example. Everybody assumes you're free falling, and that feeling you have of falling greater than the speed of gravity. But if you watch that special, they show you and they tell you that you're not dropping, they're actually pulling you down. There's a big
Those
cylinder or
cables.
piston or whatever that runs up and is attached to the bottom of the car. and it actually pulls you down. You're not free falling, you're being pulled, and that's why your hair goes up, and you get
It's
that feeling
magnetic. They're
of
like sucking you down too.
exactly. So, I mean, that should make you feel safer. I'm trying to convince myself of this, that you're really not falling if you
No, it
really
wouldn't allow.
think. Right, if you think of the mechanics of it, you're not falling. It's just pulling you faster, and it gives you the same sensation, but it's pretty safe actually as things go.
Yeah, but that's the whole point with Splash. It's like during the hotter the days, they have the cannons higher. That's why you
Right.
get soaked, or during, you get more soaked,
Yeah.
soaking. You get soaked
Soaked her.
in the summertime when you
Right.
hit that ride. If it's 90 or above, you're getting drenched.
Well, yeah, and they even put them up so high, Doug. If you think about it, people on the bridge that are taking pictures or watching, they're getting soaked too because the splash, either maybe there's even additional cannons they turn on to splash some of the water up on the guests that are on the bridge because it's hot as heck and they probably don't mind the water anyways.
No, but if you go there during the wintertime in February, you know how you see all those grounds soaked and wet around there?
It's all dry.
There's not a stitch of rain on the water on
Right.
the ground. So it's like, no, if you hit that water that hard, you would all fly out of that log, and then the next log would hit you coming down. No, you're skimming across. You're barely even in the water, really, at
They'd
that
be
point.
picking you out of the pucker brush at the bottom.
Exactly. Brer Fox and Brer Bear you'd be with, why Brer Rabbit's laughing at you.
Exactly.
That's going to be about it for us this week, then.
Yeah, it was a nice kind of getting caught back up with everything Disney, and like you said, we're going to do some recording here over the next couple of days, and we'll have some great shows for you guys.
Well, everybody, you guys take care. Again, we want to wish you a safe and happy new year. Check us out on Twitter. Please give us a review on iTunes. And follow us all on Facebook and Twitter too, and email us if you have any questions. That's going to be it, my good friend. I'm buying this week, and I will talk to you real soon.
See you next show, Doug.
Right, bye-bye. Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.